You're listening to Simpler One Earth Living from Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works with co-hosts Lee Van Ham and Jerry Iverson. You're about to hear how women are being empowered toward fuller personhood through the work of Jubilee Circles. Women in Mexico are learning their rights instead of obeying patriarchal norms shaped by machismo. Some are being trained in the power of civic action and political candidacy. Others in economic self-reliance. These examples from Jubilee in Mexico relate to all of us wherever we are listening. Stay with us and hear these strong, real-life stories as told by Angelica and Lindsay. Greetings, Lee, from Paso Robles, California, and Simple Living Works.
Greetings to you, Jerry, on this cool morning in San Diego, and from Jubilee One Earth Economics. Well, again today, we're going to zero in on the changes we need in the 2020s. You know, I'm thinking that by the time people hear this, the 2020 election will probably be over, and in some ways it matters a whole lot what happens there, and yet we have to live the 2020s either way, and we have all these big changes that we need to make. The changes are huge in scale, and they can't happen without women living into their full, divinely given power. As that happens in many places around the globe, societies shift out of patriarchal dominance. The stories in this episode illustrate exactly what I'm saying. They're stories of Jubilee that really inspire me. And the October 27 Guardian had an article that is a good lead-in into this episode. It was by Cecile Richards, who now directs an organization for women's activism called Supermajority. She says the pandemic and its collateral economic crisis have illustrated like never before that women are the backbone of America. Before COVID-19, women made up more than half the workforce, nearly two-thirds of minimum wage workers, and the majority of caregivers. One in three jobs held by women has been designated as essential in the midst of this pandemic. Well, right now, millions of women are pulling off an impossible balancing act, working while trying to keep their families safe and healthy during a terrifying time. Others have lost jobs, have had their wages or hours cut, and more than 800,000 women have left the workforce. This crisis is disproportionately burdening women, especially women of color. That's the end of the quotation. We can also observe that the right wing of politics repeatedly undercuts the laws that empower women. Though they may say, politicians on the right may say words claiming they esteem women, their actions all too frequently tell a story of limiting women's rights.
So, let's get to our guests. Angelica Juarez Jimenez is a physician, an artist, and works with Jubilee through the Jubilee Circle in San Mateo, Mexico, in the state of Puebla. And Lindsay Mercer Robledo is an organizer working with Jubilee through the Jubilee Circle in San Cristobal, in the southernmost Mexican state of Chiapas. These conversations were recorded mid-October.
I welcome Angelica Juarez Jimenez. Jimenez, I think I get my Spanish pronunciation more correctly here. She lives in San Mateo, which is in the state of Puebla in Mexico. And I've been impressed for some time with her work in the empowering of women. So Angelica, just have you tell us a little bit about some of the women that you're working with just how you go about this process of bringing them to a deeper sense of their power and the more of the authority that, you know, they have their full people in the image of God who can make choices over their lives. Tell us about them.
Yes. I am so fortunate to be able to meet Grace Dearness. She came here on March of 2017, and she was telling me some stories about some groups of women in different parts of the third world. And her experiences with these groups made me so encouraged to start one here in my small town. And when she came here, we started gathering some women, about 20 women, who were listening those stories, and they were very impacted for how the groups of women could win a lot of goals in their personal lives and also in the community. And we started that group, and we called it Artesanas Shalom, paz or peace in English, peace group or artisans peace group, and in Spanish, Artesanas Shalom. And the first year we started knowing each other and also developing some activities. We learned a lot from other artisans in the town. We create several crafts, and some of them had several talents and gifts, and it was very good the first year to first knowing each other better and having a stronger relationship. And also we started savings bank, and every week we started saving money, small quantities, amounts, and now we have more than 20 women in that savings bank. And it has been very useful, especially in these times of pandemia, because several women have passed through difficult situations. It has been very, very excited to be together and to work together and to start selling our products here in the region. And our goal is to continue selling our products not only here in the region, but and more in other states or even in other countries. Recently, I met a woman who is a model, and she saw our crafts, and she is interested in our fabric projects. And she said, as a model, she is starting a business with some clothing, fashion clothing, with the Mexican embroidery. She says, every time in the world, this art is being known and accepted in Europe and in other countries. In other countries. And she says she would love to come here and expand the vision. She says if you could start this embroidery in fashion clothes, you could begin to open a new market and you could grow. And that sounds very, very nice to me, very excited. And she's going to come in the future. Now we can't gather because of the pandemia. In Puebla, we still have many, many cases of COVID. In fact, I am passing through this infection. Thanks God, I didn't have important symptoms, but you can imagine how often is this number of cases, even in my family, a lot of cases. And that was very bad for our group of artisans. We cannot meet and we cannot gather as before and start new projects. But maybe in the future, and
we hope so. I want to ask just a couple of things. I hate to interrupt you, but you so going back, the women came together to meet with Grace Dernis, and then they began to be strengthened, empowered by just talking with each other, and they became empowered as they began to recognize the skills that each of them had, and that their skills were in fact useful to others and could even be turned into a way of having some income, and that this was giving them much more strength as people. Yes, go ahead.
Yes, of course. I think that empowers women when we can explore our abilities. And some of them, when they could see a finished project, they said, "I cannot believe I could do that."
Uh-huh.
And also, some of them could see more qualities in their own perceptions, because here in my small town, women have been very violated, is correct?
Violated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of them don't think about themselves as people who is worth of
yes.
of things, and I think. We have tried to educate them about several issues. Mariana is a lawyer and she's part of the group. And she has provided workshops talking about the how important is the role in the women in our society. And because of the machismo or chauvinism here in the region, she has to educate women, because sometimes violence here sounds like normal. You have to support and the hard treat of your husband because you belong to him. And you have to stay quiet and don't say anything. But our group has taken some strength after we have talked about these issues. And I think we have grown in this aspect of our lives. And recently, one of the women told me her husband left her, and she has two kids, and she decided to start studying a career. Mm-hmm. And she's very intelligent, and now with the pandemic, mm-hmm. She is studying online, and she is very brilliant, intelligent, and she's doing very well. Her husband is not supporting her anymore, but she is very strong, and that makes me happy.
Oh yes,
because she is doing very, very well.
That's so exciting, Angelica. And I just want to tell our listeners too, you know, that you yourself are a physician, and you're an artist with considerable skill, and so you bring a lot to the relationships that you're describing. I want to pick up we don't have a lot of time left, but I want to pick up with you about what you were saying during this pandemic, especially with this bank you have. I mean, I don't know if you actually deposit the money in a bank or if someone is kind of like your banker who holds on to this. I'm not sure how you do that, but you have been able to help women through the hard times. Do I understand you correctly?
Yes, with the same savings bank, we have been able to help some of the women, because two of them had their husbands were infected with COVID, but they were very serious, sick, mm-hmm. and some of them were with oxygen, and a lot of time they were in their homes without working, mm-hmm. and women had to work hard. And one of them is Lucy, who is a very creative woman. She started doing masks, and she sell a lot of them, and she could bring food to her home. Mm. And also we could lend money without any interest. And some of them decided to take the whole amount of money that they were saved, and it helped a lot in that moment, mm-hmm. and start again later, saving each week. So we would like to help more.
Yes.
But with the small resources that we have, we could help a little,
yes.
to those women.
Well, this is Lucy's story is very inspiring, as is the woman who is now studying online after her spouse has left her. She hasn't been destitute. I'm sure it's been a painful time, but she has a vision. She has a sense of her own power and a sense of her calling. That God has a calling in her life to who she can be and what she can do. So these are exciting stories. One of the women here in the U.S. was especially wanting to donate to groups, to women in Mexico who were experiencing empowerment. And this donor died in the last year of cancer, but your stories are a strike at the heart of many of us in this time too, when we recognize so much about the inequality and injustices having to do with patriarchy, and with women. Maybe you have one more story of another woman, perhaps, or you just want to say something more about how you hope Artesana Shalom will evolve.
Yeah, I would like to share something that Mariana, my niece who is in the group of mm-hmm. artisans.
Yes,
she has the dream to have a legal right center where she can help women mm-hmm. and to provide legal assistance and also psychological support mm-hmm. To have an accompaniment in the process of restoration and healing of women who have suffered violence. And she has an agenda to start doing more workshops and educating them, because as many, many women here in this region have suffered violence. And especially in the state of Puebla, we have seen many, many cases of feminicides. And it's very, very hard. And lately, in this pandemic time, we have seen a lot of violence in women. Mm. So for Mariana as a lawyer, it is a problem that needs to be treated. Mm-hmm. And she's thinking to start that place here in the Centro Cultural mm-hmm. to help those women.
That's an exciting vision. Of course, I know Mariana has taken special certifications as an attorney, so mm-hmm. that she is trained in the legal rights of women. We have to end this conversation now. I'm almost sorry to say, because it's been so rich and so good. And thank you so much for sharing these deep stories of life and the spiritual journey of the empowering of women. It's very, very amazing story, a very powerful story. And of course, we wish you well, and who knows, maybe, and we want Mariana to do well in her vision. And Mariana, I should say, is a member of the board of Jubilee Economics Ministries, so we'll continue to be in touch with her about that. So I just want to thank you for today. Thank you so much, and every blessing.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me here.
Yes, you're so welcome. So bye for now.
Bye. Have a good day.
And you as well.
We'll return to our conversation momentarily. With the Christmas season coming soon, get Lee's new book, The Liberating Birth of Jesus, A Birth Story Able to Reverse the Earth's Perils. It clearly shows that the Christmas story is a different story from the birth story of the Gospels, and knowing that can make a big difference in reversing what's happening on our planet and all of life. Hear Lee interviewed about the book in an earlier podcast by using the link in this episode's show notes. Reviews at theoneearthproject.com/books. Order a copy directly from Jubilee or from various suppliers on the internet. The first 5 orders of Jubilee receive will be free. And secondly, in 2021, One Earth Jubilee will increase opportunities for meeting the people in the Jubilee circles in Mexico and learn how they go about their amazing work. Ask to be included in a solidarity call or plan to be a part of courses in the new Jubilee School. Information on the website oneearthjubilee.com. Now we return to our conversation with leaders from the Jubilee circles in Mexico.
Well, we welcome Lindsay Mercer-Robledo to this part 2 of this podcast episode on empowering women. And whereas in part 1 we were interviewing
Angelica in the San Mateo Puebla area, we've traveled far south to Chiapas, to the San Cristobal area, where Lindsay Mercer Robledo is, along with a whole Jubilee team. So welcome, Lindsay, and we'll get right into it.
Thank you, Lee. It's so great to be here.
All right. So tell us about how empowering women is on your minds and in your intentions as a Jubilee Circle there in San Cristobal.
Well, we in the San Cristobal Circle are giving women opportunities to know their strength, opportunities to learn their rights, and opportunities to recognize their skills and talents. Mm-hmm. We also give them opportunities to provide an income for their family, which is very important. As we have read in Proverbs 31:25, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. Uh-huh. This is what we want to provide to the women we work with here in Chiapas. And today I have three examples of this that I would like to share.
Wonderful. By the way, that is a radical reinterpretation of that text, in case you didn't know, because for ages it's been quoted as a text for the submission of women, and you're quoting it as a text for the liberation and empowerment
exactly.
of women.
I read it very differently.
Yes, and that's exactly the way, I can't remember her name right now, but a woman writes, a Latin American woman writes about it just exactly the way you've quoted it. Well, mm-hmm. please go ahead with the projects.
Okay. Well, I'm going to quote another person.
Okay.
As the late and great Ruth Bader Ginsburg once said, women belong in all places where decisions are being made. And that not only holds true in the U.S., as we know, but also here in Mexico. Mexico is well known for its machismo. However, many women are starting to learn their rights as being a woman. This is one of the many reasons why it is important to educate and motivate women to run for local or political office. Our voices need to be heard, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, good.
Gloria, who is of Nashville and part of the San Cristobal Circle, has been an activist easily for the past 20 years, mm-hmm. as well as is a theologist and ordained pastor here. She created a group called the Multicultural Movement for Democracy, teaching women and men their constitutional rights, as well as talk on various local political and activism subjects. Mm-hmm. This group is currently in talks of running for local government here in San Cristobal under an independent party, with women looking to gain an alderman, or I should say alderwoman, mm-hmm. or council seat, as well as possibly a mayor or district representative position, which sounds awesome to me.
Yes.
And the group is really excited to be included in this process, and we'll be learning more. So that's just all very exciting to me.
Wonderful to be empowered in their acceptance of their full, that they have full power as citizens. And that training is powerful. And then, I mean, there's a lot of people in the U.S. who don't really believe that, male and female. And it's a big issue, especially in racial minorities. But now, also the political empowerment is very special. So what a great project that Gloria is leading there.
Right.
Do you have another project, or you want to say more about
the first? No, yeah, I have another project that I would like to share with everyone. The Plaza Comunitaria has been giving women the opportunity to provide an income for their families for the past 3 years. The Plaza Comunitaria is a farmers type market where we created, along with other local producers, where local artisans and producers alike come together to practice a solidarity economy.
Mm-hmm.
In this little market, we also provide free workshops to the people, as well as invite local musicians to share their talent. So everything is local. And one will even see people bartering products for other products, leaving mm-hmm. the peso out of the equation, which is really neat to see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. 75% of those who participate in the Plaza Comunitaria are women. These women sell chocolate, coffee, art, jewelry, knitted fabrics, homemade soaps and shampoos, food, condiments, fresh fruits and vegetables. And also there's a woman that comes in and sells medicinal plants such as lavender, aloe vera, rosemary.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wide variety of products.
These are indigenous medicines, botanical medicines, that give an alternative to the local pharmacies that
right.
mm-hmm. are often out of the price range of some people.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I love that you're talking about a solidarity economy. You know, you're not just empowering people to participate in the dominant economy, but you're actually empowering them to think differently about economics and
exactly.
how they can operate in an economy that really works for them. So mm-hmm. congratulations, great work. So I think this plaza is something you can't be doing right now in the pandemic, I think.
Well, our last plaza was in, when was it? The 15th of March.
Mm-hmm.
That was our last plaza before having to basically close everything down for COVID. Mm-hmm. At that time, nobody knew what COVID-19 was yet.
Mm-hmm.
None of us knew what it was yet, but we knew that it was something serious. We knew that it was something we had to take serious. And so we had a meeting and everyone decided that it was the moment to put everything aside, to rest for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that we didn't know was how long that rest was going to be.
Mm.
You know, now we're what, 8 months into it? And right now we're starting to start back up the plaza. We had one plaza this past Saturday, 19th, but it was very low key, nothing like we had before. We didn't have a local musician. We didn't have free workshops because we were trying to keep everything safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want anybody to get sick on our watch. Mm-hmm. So it was very, I would say, use the word low key.
I think I've also heard you refer to a directory of local entrepreneurs, I'll just call them, or sources of.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. So late last year, we formed a group with other local organizations here in San Cristobal to form the Red de Economías Populares y Autogestivas del Sur. Okay. And that's roughly, that's a mouthful. It's roughly translated to the Social and Autogestive Economy Network of the South.
Mm-hmm.
So the prime mission of this network is to create and provide a directory of local products, simply. This directory is shared virtually through either Facebook or WhatsApp. And thanks to a donation the network received from a Mexican organization called Fundo de Acción Solidaria, or an English Solidarity Action Network, we were able to provide free delivery service using a local bike messenger, which also, side note, helps offset our carbon offprint, our footprint, sorry.
Wow.
As we have seen, this delivery option helps motivate people to buy local. And that's what we're always trying to say, buy local, buy local, buy local.
Ah, congratulations on that. By the way, some years ago, I joined with Barry Shelley, who's a Jubilee Economics Ministries advisor and an economist who teaches at Boston University. And we did a workshop at a Solidarity Economy Network event. So there you are also in that part of that network.
Small world.
So congratulations that you've made that connection with them. I really appreciate their deep commitment to alternative economy and how they go about it. So beautiful work, Lindsay.
Thank you.
So do you have more on that?
I would like to transition talking about our mushroom houses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. So providing a mushroom house to a family has proven to create an alternative income. Alternativas, which is the collective my husband and I founded 5 years ago, mm-hmm. has been able to hold 7 different oyster mushroom growing workshops within the past 4 years. It costs roughly $175 to start a mushroom growing business. And that's mm-hmm. just to start it. And that amount depends on if we need to construct a physical mushroom house or recondition a space to grow the mushrooms. Every house and every space is different. So after that, the cost to continue the production is very minimal as you reuse the materials purchased at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so for $175, a house can get going. Now, where do you do this? You don't do this in the city, I don't think.
Well, we have on occasion built some mushroom houses here within the city, but just a couple. But we usually go out into the communities more because that's where the need is more needed.
Mm-hmm.
Uh huh. For example, 2 years ago, we were able to give a workshop to a group of women who were family that lived on the top of the mountain we depict. That's probably about, they're probably about 20, 30 minutes away from here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a family of like mom, grandma, aunts, cousins. They all live together right there
mm-hmm.
in the mountain. Uh-huh. And they were looking for a way to provide something nutritious for their family. As well as provide a small income by selling what was left over each harvest to sell in the market or in the Plaza Comunitaria. So they had a great start and had reported to us that they have continued growing and harvesting the mushrooms.
So wonderful. So
they help
give them more power over their own food choices for nutritious foods, and then right. also for some income and a whole different way of, a whole different way of agriculture there. So,
right.
And I think you said right. that Isai and you worked on that together, and you've taken training for that, I think.
Right. Well, Isai and I almost always are working together.
Okay. Great.
As I always say, I'm more of an apprentice, and Isai is the master because he's really great about agriculture and building these mushroom houses, especially. He has taken a lot of workshops on that, whereas I am learning with him mm-hmm. through these workshops. Right.
Okay.
But we are always together.
And then what's the word of mouth on this? I would think that this might spread.
For example, with this family that I just mentioned, word got out in the mountain, mm-hmm. and another group of women further down the mountain there contacted us and wanted us to give them a workshop as well. So we went there and we did the workshop, and things have been going very wonderful for them as well. So we're very happy for these two groups of yeah. women in Huitepec.
Well, maybe someone listening would like to designate another $175 through GEM, and you can get another mushroom.
You'd be able to build another one. Exactly. that would be wonderful.
Okay. Well, This has been great. Thank you. You've given so many wonderful examples of how women are being empowered to participate. The conversation with Lindsay suddenly ended because of a technical glitch. However, Lindsay and I had really come to the end of our conversation anyway. We just didn't get to have a courteous conclusion. Well, I want to add to these conversations a most important byproduct that happens when women are able to claim their full personhood. Not only do they correct the imbalances of patriarchy, they correct the imbalance in species. The human species has quadrupled in number in the past 90 years, just a little more than my lifetime. As a result, we are driving other species into perilous, massive extinctions. But now get this. When societies agree that women be educated, that they must have equal economic opportunity, that they have reproductive choice, and that all systems facilitate real feminine leadership, guess what? Human births decline. Women living with full personhood reverse our planet's perils caused by the huge dominance of the human species over all others. Women also prefer an earth-friendly economy to the endless growth economy that ravages our planet and has been largely male-led.
Also, Lee, we want to pay attention to the corporations that fund anti-choice politicians who will maintain systems of inequality. These include, note, AT&T, Coca-Cola, Disney, Nike, Procter & Gamble, and Uber. Corporate America is one of the largest supporters of anti-choice, anti-women politicians, even the ones who claim they are pro-women. Some of the worst offenders champion anti-choice candidates at the local, state, and federal level, empowering an extremist agenda regarding women's freedoms, agendas antithetical to equality and justice. Don't trust what they say on their websites. Watch what they fund. And watch for opportunities to sign petitions that let them know you are watching. We can't get to the world we need unless we all are able to make choices that matter for life. Well, have you been listening to our recent episodes? In April through August was our pandemic series, Looking to the Future. In September, So Much to Learn from Outsiders, Immigrant Advocacy with author Lane Van Ham. In October, Scott Klinger, Maximizing Justice Over Profits is Possible. In our previous episode, we interviewed Lane Van Ham on the power of immigrant advocacy, and you can get his new book, Composite Nation, A History of Immigrant Advocacy in the United States, directly from One Earth Publishing, a service of Jubilee One Earth Economics. So do listen to those episodes. We're sure that you will pick up thoughts you'll value. We certainly did as we created them. You can subscribe to this podcast under the name Simple Living Works at your favorite podcast service. Individual episodes are available at Jubilee's new website, oneearthjubilee.com, and also simpleLivingWorks.org in window number 3. Urge your friends to do the same. Please tell us your thoughts on these subjects. Leave a message on Jubilee One Earth Economics and Simple Living Works Facebook pages. Until next time, this is Jerry Iverson of Simple Living Works with co-host Lee Van Ham of Jubilee One Earth Economics, wishing you well as we strive together to bring simpler One Earth living into being for the common good.
so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can simply live. Learn to live simply so others can live.